Welcome, welcome. So glad that you've joined me on this monthly Dream Big call, Discovering Who You Are in a Relationship. After the last two monthly calls about money and then the physical healthy you, I'm even more committed to understanding that everything starts with the relationship that you have with yourself. It starts with knowing you, knowing what's important to you, knowing what's guiding your life, and then getting in alignment, because that's where the problem is when what you want and what you're living is different. And most of us haven't done the conscious work of knowing yourself and then creating the life you want around that. And that's why I'm so passionate about living with purpose and passion, because that's when you live with more love, more joy, and abundance. For most of us, it's like you're growing up, you go to school, you go to college, you go to work, you have a family, and then you start becoming frustrated that things aren't working like you want. And so much of this pain and frustration is because you are out of alignment with what's true for you, and you don't even know it. And I love all this underneath work and understanding it all. So sometimes what our friends and families want is really different than what you want, and sometimes what our family and friends want for our life is different, and some of that can be the angst or the upset that you have going on in your life. Because you might be like me, you want to please and not upset everybody, but what's really happening is that you're really betraying yourself. You know, and most of this isn't conscious to begin with, and that's why I want to help you become awakened to what's possible for your life as you start thinking about these little things that you can make changes in your life. So for me, what I know for sure, it begins with understanding your relationship with yourself, the roles that you play, whether it's with your partner or the other people in your life, how they play out in your life, and then what tools and strategies do you have to interact with others. My primary relationships have created many opportunities for me as well as great challenges, and I think that's why I love this topic, and I might be going way crazy tonight with all the information. I thought, okay, define it, slow down, just choose a few points to make in regards to this area. Now I know whatever happens to me in life is an opportunity, even though it doesn't always look like it or feel like that, for me to be the greatest, grandest version of myself. And I also know now the importance of the team effort in a relationship where you're both dedicated 100%, where that is the value that's driving our lives, that is really guiding what we want. Do we always show up 100%? No. Do we need reminders? Absolutely. But our commitment and expectation and intentions are that our relationship is most important to us. It affects everything else in our lives. So my spiritual journey began after my divorce, to where I understand that everything that happens to you in life is something to help you become the greatest version of yourself. Now, you couldn't have convinced me of that when I was angry and hurt, ashamed and blaming. But after being single for 15 years, I learned a lot about relationship and how we get what we ask for and why it's so important to know what you want. My first relationship after my divorce, I was with this man totally in love with me. We had fun together. He wanted to do everything for me. And he totally tried to take over my life. And I had had a relationship where I was doing everything. So this was really something way different for me. Well, I loved it in so many senses because he just adored and cherished me, which is what I asked for. And I wanted someone who spent time with me running and hiking and who would just help me and support me. Well, I got that. And most of it felt great. But something wasn't right. I forgot to ask for those things that weren't missing too, because as we look at our relationships, there's so many things that are great about them, but we tend to start focusing on those things that are missing. And so that's why it's always nice to have reminders to take time to think about the things that are important to you in the relationships. So each relationship, I got closer to exactly what I wanted, but most of all, I had to become what it is that I wanted. I had to be willing to receive the help, which I had to change my beliefs that I had to do it all myself to be good enough, and that it wasn't weak by taking help from some other people. I had to become a great partner, clear about what I wanted and needed. We teach other people how to treat us is one of the great messages in relationships. I had to open up to communicating what I wanted, not just doing everything for everyone. I needed to understand who I was and how I interacted, and mostly at that time, still responding to situations reacting to situations rather than responding. When you take back your life, you know what's most important. You start responding to situations. You're not triggered by certain situations anymore. And that's why I love this work, because I now have the tools. And do things go haywire? Absolutely they do, and they will continue to do that. But I get back on track so much more quickly. And it's why coaching is so helpful to you. It helps you get back on track, because life does happen, and life will take us off, and that's where we learn new tools to teach us get back on, and we just have to practice those over and over again to where they become natural for us, or when we notice when we're out of, you know, whack, it's like, okay, something's not right, I need to do something about it. So my intention for our call is to try to open you to the possibilities for your relationship and help you align with what's most important to you, even if you've been in a relationship for 40 years or 20 years. It's time to have it exactly what you want. You know, maybe you aren't aware of some of the skills and strategies and resources that could help you enhance your relationship, because it can be what you want. And I can tell you today, I'm blessed with the most loving, fun guy there is. And I know that's because both of us really keep that commitment of really wanting to make it first in our lives. So I'm going to talk about three different areas tonight in regards to relationships. What is it that you value? What's most important to you in relationship? And how are you aligned with that? And then what can you do to make little shifts to have the greatest love that you desire? Then the second part I want to talk to you about is how can you see how your troublesome spots can really be great healing space for you? And then talk about some communication tools to create fulfilling relationships. So let's start talking about designing your relationship so it's perfectly aligned with who you are and what you value and what you love to do in ways that light you up. Now just take a moment and think about what would be the most passionate, loving relationship. Think back when you met, you know, or think back of times that you just cherish and adore each other. What's happening for you? And what are little anchors or ways that you can get back on track and just light up when you're with each other? I don't know, I listen to country music, and the other day I heard this song, and it for whatever reason, I kind of keep hearing it because I'm like, okay, something about it does something for me. But I don't know if you know Eric Church's song, The Wrecking Ball. Well, you need to find things that kind of just get you excited, and this kind of did that. So he has words in there that says, been too many nights since we made love. That old house is going to be shaking. I hope the bricks and boards can take it. I'm going to back you up against the wall, love you, baby, rock you, baby, like a wrecking ball. Well, can't you just feel the passion and the excitement in there? Now, if you're angry and frustrated, so the point where I've been before also. Sexually, you don't want to touch anyone or you don't want anyone close to you. I totally get that. But what I'm trying to do is have you look at the most passionate part of being in a relationship and find things that do that for you. Find people or relationships to remind you how it can be and how you want it to be and what's important for you. And one of the things that relationship people talk about is that sex is 10% of the relationship, but 90% of the problem. And a lot of that has to do with because of the communication, because our needs aren't met, you know, you're worn out from all the other things that you're doing, and we haven't prioritized our life. So here are some beginning things to start thinking about what's most important to you. Awaken to your authentic self. Stop pretending to be someone else's definition of who you are, what they need. And I don't want to say that you're not meeting their needs, because when you're full and you are all you're going to be, you're going to do those loving things for your partners, the people that you're with, your kids, all that, you know, your friends. But it's when we're doing those, when we're empty and we feel guilty and, you know, we become the martyrs and we, you know, or we feel like we're a victim in a situation that we don't have any other choices. So please don't hear that I'm saying we don't do anything for other people, because the highest service is to contribute to other people. But the important thing that I'm trying to say is you have to be full, you have to be in line with it, and it can't be from a space of begrudging or they better be thankful for, you know, all the things that I'm doing for them and all that. And it's important to speak the truth of what you want. That's been really hard for me, you know, because it's just been really a hard situation. And then listen to your inner wisdom. What is it telling you, you know, as you're in relationship? If it feels uncomfortable, you know, that moment might not be the right time to talk about it, but you need to bring it up, or you need to remove yourself from those times, you know, those types of situations. And then design your relationship around what's most important to you. And we're going to get to some of the examples in just a second. I always kind of go off track or whatever. But anyway, Shakti Gawain says, relationships are a path to consciousness, healing, and growth. So as you think about your relationship where you are right now, what's one word that you would describe your relationship? And that can help you guide where you need to take the next steps. You know, if it's fun and passionate, then you're on the right track and you want to do more of those. But if it's kind of like lost some of its excitement, or you're feeling really frustrated with it, then that's important to know also. Because then what I want you to do is start thinking about, you know, little shifts that we can make. And hopefully some of the things that I share with you tonight, you'll be able to start making those little shifts and have that relationship that you want. Remember, every day is a new day, and we can change and make our lives like we want it. So do you often think about, whenever you have problems in the relationship, it's about fixing the other person? Are you looking for like a spouse fixer workshop? Well, I know when I was going through all the things I've gone through, I certainly thought it was about that. So do you want other people to see all the things that they're doing wrong? And so what are the stories you're sharing about your relationships? Because that's what we continue to get. And all our sufferings rooted in misperceptions. You probably expect people to be more or better or different than they are. And so those are things that just keep us in frustration. But the cosmic joke is that you will keep being called to look within yourself, because it's not about them. And that's going to be the part two in our conversation tonight. And what that's called is that's the call to your soul's journey. So if you've lost faith in yourself, or faith in never having that love and passion back in your relationship, know that there is hope and opportunity with the right guidance and support. And I hope that these calls, or you know, like anything that I could help support you with, that you're finding the support and resources that you need to get you back on track. And what I'd ask you to do is declare today's the day that you shift and decide that you want something different, because that really is all that it takes to do that. So as you're thinking about your relationship, are there toxic emotions in it? Is there hurt where you're feeling like victims and helplessness and blame? Is there a lot of sadness? Because sadness continuously will put us in depression where we regret or there's self-pity. How much shame is there in your relationship? Humiliation and embarrassment. How about hopelessness, loneliness, despair? Is there fear, anxiety, panic, immobilization, anger? Is there resentment and bitterness? How about hate, meanness, and vengeance? Jealousy, pride, greed, guilt? Is there self-blame and false responsibility? Do you worry? Do you openly criticize? Do you distrust others? Do you compare yourself to others? And all of this is not to make you wrong. It's to bring your awareness of where you are so that you can take the next step to having the relationship that you want. So you are responsible for what you bring to the relationship. And we've made the choices. And I know that I have this down someplace, but Brené Brown has a new book out, and it's called Rising Strong, and she talks about the reason that we make the choices that we do is it's often because it helps us make sense of the situation, even though it's not always the best for us, and that's why we end up with so much resentment or anger, and our relationships start dying. But in relationships, you have to be your own best friend, and you have to know what feeds you, and you have to love yourself first. And that's what I said earlier. That doesn't mean you're always putting yourself first, but sometimes that's needed. And so when you are taking care of yourself, when you're full of life and full of love, just think how much more you have to give others. But when you're drained because you've done so much, then you become resentful if somebody doesn't appreciate that or somebody doesn't acknowledge you. So my take and experience is when you give away your power, your life to another, then you're not going to be all you meant to be. And you don't have the capacity to give what you to others and the world. And so when you're given, usually when you're giving from a drain or, one of those empty spots, it's often negative energy and negative input. So when you're living other people's expectations of you, you're going to start feeling, all the shoulds, I've got to do this. But I believe the healthier and whole you are, the more happy and peaceful and loving you can be. When you feel confident about yourself, you bring that to relationship. And one of the important things that I learned, which was really strange, and I know as you start talking about this, is the healthiest relationship is when you don't need and you're not attached to other people anymore. You love them and you want them in your life, and you just know the difference that they make. But when we need somebody, then that makes it we're less than. And it's important not to need them, but want them. And, I want my husband all the time. But we both don't need each other because we are both strong, independent people, but we've chosen each other, and that's what makes for a more loving situation for you. So as we start thinking about what's most important to you, what were your models or what are your models that you've used in your relationship? Because this was one of the areas that I learned real quickly after all my experiences in relationships is we tend to build our relationships like our parents did. And that's, I don't mean that bad or good, but that's where they start. Our men relationships, and that's why they often say women marry their dad and, guys marry their mothers, because those are our first, opposite sex or, our first relationships, and we learn the skills and patterns that they've done. So if those, choose the good parts about that and then think about other relationships that you know are healthy and then say, how could I bring that? If you see people that have fun together and that's what's missing in your life, just think about that and think about how could I do that? Or people that spend more time together, or people that listen to each other, or people that are kind, whatever it is that you want in your relationship. Remember, you're the director of your life, and so you get to choose the roles and adventures, and that's what I love teaching people about, is this is your life, and you really can choose. I never realized that. I just thought life, you know, happened, and you just did the next thing. You know, if you want to manage people and work around people to make life easier for them, then you're, you know, have the disease to please. But you can't be authentic and they can't be either. Because if it, you know, it denies you support and it denies the other person to be all they can be as a partner. Are you given more than you're receiving? Just kind of dig into that. Explore why. In order to get more support, you have to know where you are and when you need it, and then be willing to ask for it. My goodness, this was an area that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that I felt like if I had people helping me, that meant I wasn't good enough or that I was weak. So if your partner sees you as someone that can do it all, they're not going to ask for your help or support because they don't think you need it. But people need to feel needed. Just feel how good it is when you do things for other people. They love it, but we have to allow them to be there for us. You know, I thought my superwoman meant that, you know, I had to do everything perfectly myself. If you need it done your way, then you're also shutting people off. And so, you know, you're probably thinking nobody does it as good as you. But the truth is your partners or people around you want to help support you if it's in an open, caring way. And if you allow that and really, you know, the greatest gift is to have them help you rather than, you know, for such a long time for me, like I wanted it exactly this way. But now I look at, you know, I wouldn't have been so stressed out if I had people helping and supporting me. So ask yourself, are you in over your head and you're ready to stop struggling with your relationship? Then just take time to rewrite that relationship guide. You know, what is it that you have to shift? What would be your vision for it? And like I said, you know, if you're like me late in life, then you still can have it. You can recreate it. Think about two qualities, or on your worksheet, I ask you to write out three things that you liked, you know, about what's happening now and three things that you'd like to change. And what would be some little things that you need to do to make that happen? As you've probably heard, mostly what I'm focusing on for tonight's conversation is the relationship with yourself or with your primary partner. And everything can be applied to all the other relationships, your kids, your friends, your colleagues, but it's easier if you just start focusing on like your primary relationship or your relationship with your kids, whatever it is that you're wanting to do. And so, you know, my teaching and my intent and my frame of reference that always guides everything for me is helping people be the greatest version of themselves. And I just believe people can have grand relationship. Does it take work? It takes a lot of work. But it's also just like our jobs. We often give lots of energy to our jobs. We have to do the same with our relationship. Learn new skills and strategies so that, you know what's possible. So I had to learn how to love, how to be loving, and how to be lovable. And that all sounds strange, but it's true. If you can't receive, it's kind of hard to, you know, be lovable because you're not really allowing people in. So the universe will provide you exactly the situations that align with what it is that you want. And that's why it's so important to know what you want and see when you're sitting there being frustrated and that's the energy you're talking about, you're going to get more situations to help you be more frustrated in your relationship. And one of the things that I realized is this whole thing about what are your values in a relationship? And, you know, there's so many things about, you know, there's so many items that are your values. Do you love being alone, caring for others, peace, joy, kindness, contribution, family, extravagant, you know, and then all the languages of love, quality time. Do you want adventure in your relationship, respect, honesty? What is it? What are the values that are really guiding your life that you would like to get, you know, if you feel like you're not getting respect in your relationship and that's one that you really want, then that would be a great place to start beginning to see, okay, what is it that I could start doing so that I could have that added to my relationship? If you want to be heard, you know, that you feel like, you know, often, you know, there's oftentimes when one person in a relationship kind of takes over and you feel like you're not heard, well, then that's real important. But why it's so important to know your values is because this can be an area of great concern. You know, you probably became interested in your partner, but maybe you didn't know the deep down values that each people, you know, each of the people hold. Because if family is real important to you and the other person it's not, then that can pull you away when you want to do lots of things with your family and the other person likes being alone more. And it's not that they can't be solved, but then you can start understanding where they're coming from. And then you start making, you know, I'm going to say deals. I don't know if that's the right word to really use. But then you start working with each other and saying, okay, how can I have these three family times, you know, for the year or whatever it is that is most important to you that you start working out. And then you also say, okay, I'm going to give you your alone time, you know, these times when I really would love to be with my family. But what often happens is we aren't aware of these values that are so deep to the core of us that really are who we are about, and then they just cause us conflict because we can't get in alignment with that. We don't want to say things because we get mad because the other person doesn't like that. But that's really where they're coming from. And we have, you know, if we want to be respected and honored in our relationships, then it's important for us to respect and honor where the other person's coming from. And so much of that's just unconscious. And we haven't had those conversations and really, you know, seek to understand where the other person is coming from. So I'd ask you to take time and look at the rules and beliefs that guide your relationship. And on that worksheet, I did ask you to write down some of those things because, you know, sometimes you're not conscious of them, and they definitely will create some, you know, conflict in your life for you, you know, for you in regards to that. Like some values to me that are important are, you know, joy and love and abundance and beauty and excellence and authenticity and freedom. And so in my relationship, you know, it's important, you know, like beauty for me, as you start really defining values, beauty, you know, includes peace and nice things around and all of that. So if I was with someone that really enjoyed clutter and lots of stuff, you know, just all around, then that would make me really anxious because it doesn't look beautiful to me. You know, my surroundings are not beautiful. It's not that that's bad that they like all that clutter, but in my world, it really creates disharmony. And so that really is upsetting to me. So once again, it's when you have to know those things and then you have those conversations. A great one that you hear about a lot is in your relationship, if one of you is real adventurous and the other one really is safe, wants safety and security at all costs, just think of all the decisions that you make in your relationship that are opposite. You know, those are like totally opposite. If they're, you know, your partner's coming from adventure and risk and you're thinking, wait, I want everything to be safe and secure, you see how your conversations can really be, you know, distorted in the views of the way that you're seeing that. And so it's so important for you to understand where you're both coming from. For me, that whole thing about excellence, I just believe we're here to be the greatest, grandest people that we are. And so I'm always, you know, like, how can I be the best person? How can everyone be the best person that they are? And so if I had partners that don't support or don't like those kinds of things, then that creates a lot of disharmony in my life. And that's what I'm telling you, that often in relationship, it's those values, those things important to us that create the disharmony. So take the time to look at that worksheet and see what it is that, you know, is most important to you. And then without you showing your partner yours or the other people that you're looking to in your life that you want to be, you know, more fun, passionate with, then ask them to make their list and then see where they are, you know, and then see what you can do to, you know, pull those together the best that you can do. Because if you're together, you want to have harmony in the greatest way possible. And a lot of that is just bringing all this stuff to a consciousness and then figuring out a way to, you know, to work with that instead of making it wrong and making the other person wrong about it. So the second part is being able to use your trouble spots in your relationship to guide you towards healing. Well, to be loved is a human basic need. And in order to really be the deepest relationship possible, we've got to be vulnerable. And that's often hard because we think if we're vulnerable, somebody's going to hurt you. But it opens up intimacy for us. And what's happened for so many of us over the years, different situations, that we build up walls after walls because we were hurt from a situation. But that's built up a wall, and that hasn't allowed us to let those people to be the closest to us that could be possible. And Debbie Ford, who, you know, is where I did all my coaching in The Dark Side of the Light Chaser, she talks about how important it is to break down those walls. You know, when you can start loving and accepting yourself, even though you were hurt, you know, and even though other people hurt you, if you really start understanding, you know, you do have the right to speak up. You do have the right to be respected. You know, you do have the right to have what you want in relationships. So the important thing is to understand that you have to love and accept all parts of yourself and not to keep building up walls because that keeps people away from us. So I'll give you an example. People in our lives are mirroring things for us to heal. So no matter what's happening around you, if you notice you're at angst or if you, you know, if you're doing projecting and saying, oh, God, look at those people. They're so righteous. Well, it's time to look at righteous in your own life. You know, what is it about that that doesn't feel right to you? Because generally, those are the qualities that need to, you know, we need something about that healed in our life. So recently, someone, you know, in our family was, you know, really kind of driving me crazy because of the way that she was controlling everyone. And my daughter says that's because that's who I am too. But so anyway, I needed to spend some time, you know, because this, you know, when you're with family, it's important to get along and just, you know, I'm always about how can I, you know, undo whatever, you know, is in the way, because I really know it's about me. It's not about them. It's about something that I need in my life. So, but I was making her wrong in these situations and being frustrated by the situation. And that's how when you know that you need to do something about it. Because if I'm not at peace, I know, you know, start working on some of the tools that I have so to bring myself back in alignment in a peaceful, loving way. So what I did is, you know, I was looking at that and I thought, okay, you know, she wants everyone to do what she wants to do. And I thought, well, she speaks up for what she wants and she's clear on what she will do and won't do. And she doesn't have to please everyone. And so then I started thinking about that and I thought, you know, I want everyone in our family to be happy and I want to make sure everybody things work out. But you know, this person doesn't feel that way and she's content with what's going on and I really need some of that. So she's mirroring to me some ways that I need to look at is, you know, I can just offer things and if people aren't interested, then I don't have to make it mean, you know, that they're controlling or that something's wrong with them. I just need to realize, you know, not everyone's interested in some of the offerings that I have to do and not make it a bad situation. So that's what, you know, this whole thing about being able to use trouble spots in your relationship to guide you to healing. And so now, as situations happen, I'm not bothered by that same situation. And so it opens up the communication more because I'm not sitting there, you know, being pouty or whatever, you know, whatever your, you know, means of acting out or whatever that they might be. So I ask you, are there things that you're hiding from that you're not, you know, facing? You just think, oh, it's going to cause too much trouble, but really it's all about you and how you're reacting and responding, because it takes a lot of energy to keep that hiding and to keep that frustrations. And, you know, all those walls build up shame and guilt, and in the end, your health and relationships pay for it. So anytime you have an illness, and I talked about this last month, you know, there's things hiding there, whether it's resentments, loss of joy, abandonment, wanting to be heard or seen. So just what is it for you? And then let's get to the bottom of it. I can help you work through it. You know, there's lots of resources that can end up helping you do that. But just realize these challenges are the green lights, you know, for healing and breakthroughs and great leaps forward. And it's just an important time to stop and just do the inner work. That's so important. And remember, you know, love is not taking care of, everyone else's need. You can do loving things, but your job's not to take on other people's lives and responsibility. Your job is to, you know, help people and support people, you know, in however ways that you want. But it's their life and their journey for them to be able to, have the life that they want. And it's not easy. You know, I can tell you, you know, with kids and partners and, you know, and just having that kind of controlling personality that I want people, you know, well, if you just do this, then it'd all be better. But one of the things as you start thinking about, you know, what are the trouble spots and how can you guide that? Everybody's got their personal, you know, everybody has basic needs. And Tony Robbins is on the forefront because I just went to his workshop last month. And I think I included one of the activities that he had us do in regards to it. Because when our basic needs aren't met, we're going to act out and do things to get them met. You know, and I have so much experience in working with that with kids in school, you know, because people often get frustrated because kids act out. Well, so do we as adults. If we don't get our basic needs met, then they're going to be negative, you know, the way that we try to get them met. And so Tony talks about you have really six needs, and there's four basic ones: certainty, uncertainty, significance, and then love and connection. Now, what you want to do is look at your life. How are you getting, you know, certainty met in your life? You know, you have a partner that comes home every night, or you have a job that you've had for 30 years, you know, those kinds of things. But, you know, the dichotomy is we need some uncertainty too. You know, to keep life lively and fun, you got to do some uncertain things, you know, spontaneous. Let's just go out to dinner tonight, and we don't usually do that, or whatever it is for you, you know, that would create some uncertainty, because that brings some life back to your life. So what you want to do is look at how you're positively doing these, because these are basic needs, and then notice how you're negatively doing that. Because as we started looking at this, because that's how you're acting in your relationship. You know, if your needs aren't getting met, you're negatively trying to get them met. And so, like for me, I ask you on the sheet, which two have you been valuing most? And for me at the time, oh, and then there's two others. He says you have two spiritual needs, which are to grow and to contribute. And if you don't do those, you're dying, he said, because those, you know, are part of living life. And so for me, the two which were the most value was significance and then also growing. And so anyway, but when I started writing my significance on the negative, I saw how, you know, I was trying to, you know, feel important, do things to look good. You know, I had to look a certain way. Everything had to be perfect. Well, it doesn't. you know, and so, you know, now I can leave my grandkids' toys around some, you know, my house doesn't have to be totally spotless. Because what's most important to me today is love and connection and to be a contribution. And so when your life's aligned with those things, then your life is more fun and passionate and alive. But it's important that you know and that you start looking at how can I positively get those needs met instead of negative. And that's the same way with your partner. You know, if you start thinking, my partner's, you know, I'm not feeling too significant with them or, you know, whatever it is, then you need to see how you're negatively doing that and then how are they negatively responding and, you know, what steps could you do, you know, to make those changes and stuff. So remember what I talked about before. If people's needs are adventure and then safety and security, you're going to be looking at, you know, the world from totally different things, the vacations you want, you know, the way that you look at your money, the way you look at your health. So it affects everything in our life, and that's why it's so important. And I wasn't taught these things before, and I just think, you know, I just want to tell everybody just some of these little tools about being, you know, more in alignment with who you are and understanding how we're trying to get these needs met, because we're going to get them met, and but it causes for, you know, not the greatest relationships. So your expectations, you know, of and in a relationship are important to know, to understand, and because it guides you. And then one of the greatest things that Stephen Covey, you know, one of his seven, you know, highly effective people was seek first to understand. And as I was, you know, writing this and thinking about this in relationships, and I truly love this because I always try to, you know, think about, you know, Bo's perspective or, you know, other people that I'm talking to, not always, you know, immediately, but mostly. I can get back there. But I know before, it's like when I was so frustrated in my in my relationship, I thought, me seek first to understand, forget it. I want him to care, you know, do things for me. So I know you totally can be in those spots, but in order to have the relationship you want, you've got to start where you can. And maybe that's not the first place to start, but that is where you want to get, because when you really care about another, you want to understand as you're in a, you know, conflict or in a relationship, you know, seek first to understand, but they have to be willing to do that too. And that's why I said, you know, when you're both committed to 100% to your relationship, then we're both working on it. We both know, oh, wow, I noticed she's out of, you know, she's frustrated, and what can I do about that? So all of that's important, you know, for you to understand each other. But your basic needs are important to know and understand how you're trying to get those filled. So it's important to understand, you know, your communication, because you have to connect in more intimate ways. So that's the third area that I want to talk about, you know, is in order to have the fulfilling relationship, it's important to understand our communication style and where you're coming from. You know, is your focus on being the highest and greatest as you communicate, or is it win at all cost, or is it get even and keep score? You know, what are your love languages? You know, what are your partner's love languages? Acts of services? Acts of service, physical touch, quality time, gifts, and words of affirmation are what Gary Chapman talks about. And it's important to know that, because each of us want to be cared about and supported and loved, and we often give other people in the way that is our love language, and they might not be able to receive that. So it's really important to understand what your other, you know, your partners are. How do you start and end your day with the people closest to you? Is it aligned with what's most important, you know, to you in a relationship? What's one thing you could start today, you know, to make your relationship the passionate, fun, loving, you know, relationship that you want? How much time do you give each other, and how much are you really listening so that you can feel heard? And do you feel heard? And can you share that? Are others accepting you, and are you accepting others? Are you using boardroom artillery as you get in conversations? How were you taught to have conversations? Take time to see the different patterns of communication and how they're serving you or not. If you're used to accommodating rather than saying what you want, you might need some help for people to help you so that you can have your voice heard. And that can be really scary because you think, oh, I'm going to upset somebody. So I'm about helping you be true to what you need, not from a hurtful or critical space, but one that is kind and compassionate. So you need to find some tools so you can communicate without triggering defensiveness. And remember, respect and dignity at all costs. And just know when you start conversations with you know, you did this to me, that triggers defensiveness right off. So what you want to do is use the I statements. You know, I feel totally frustrated with this situation. You know, when I hear those words, it just makes me so angry. Because when you can own how you feel and not put the blame on them, then it allows the other person to be open to maybe have a conversation. But when we put people at defense, then everything they've ever thought about, you know, wrong with you or they didn't like, is going to come out in that conversation. And it stays in the chaos of it, in the problem, rather than the solution. And that's another big one. Are you looking for a solution? Are you trying to be right? Which voice are you using? The child, the parent, or the adult as you're communicating with your partner? Are you sabotaging your relationship by the voice? You know, as women, sometimes we try to be the parent to our partners. If you have adult children, are you still treating them like children? Or are you having adult-adult conversations? So are you willing to give your partners the space they need? Do you do scheduled things? You know, are you making sure you're investing time in putting the priority for the both of you together so that you can sit down and talk and communicate about what's most important to you? You know, Stephen Covey once again talks about as you schedule your week, you have to schedule the big rocks in first. And that's your partner and the time that you're spending today. And I think it's real cute because kids today talk about the date night. And I think that's so important because as you have families and jobs and, you know, all the responsibilities that happen in life, if you don't take time out to nurture and build your relationship, it starts dying. And so that's why it's so important to schedule in those big rocks and make sure you do things. You know, if your husband likes art, make sure, let's go to the art museum. And if you like biking, you know, then, okay, let's go biking too. You know, make sure you're spending time doing things that you both love and that you honor each other where you are. And, you know, it's important to know, how do you handle a situation when you're hurt? Do you pout? Do you close off? Well, just notice those patterns and how can you change and make something, you know, make a different choice. So a huge part of creating your own life, you have to realize you're always at choice. And you need to learn to respond rather than react to situations because you're directing your life. And does it always go the way you want? Absolutely not. But you always have the opportunity to choose how to respond rather than react. And you can't control others, but you have the power and wherewithal to take care of yourself. Another big area in communicating, how are you on apologizing and forgiving others? And maybe yourself? And how wrong do you try to make other people or yourself? Another tool is to really spend time each day with the four A's to build relationships, giving attention, affection, acknowledgement, and appreciation. How can you do just little things like that to start building the relationship, showing the other person how much they matter to you and what they're doing matters to you? And it's really important to build, once again, you'll hear me say Covey, he talks about in relationship, it's important to build your emotional bank account because situations come up that you can't be attentive to the other person in the same way. Like recently, you know, my daughter just had an emergency C-section and her little guy was taken to the ICU unit. And so for me, it was like I needed to be there for her. Well, that also meant I wasn't at home with my husband in all the same ways that we were. And this went on for a week. And so it was like I knew that I really paid attention to him, but I also knew in that process I was telling him, I know you love it when I'm here doing this, but I need to do this. And so when you have that emotional bank account built up, then it allows you to kind of take out those deposits. But if you never build that back up with that person, then they're going to begrudge and resent, you know, that I took the time out to do, you know, be with my daughter over them. It's like, oh, you don't need me, or, you know, whatever could possibly happen in your relationship. So for me, you know, a healthy relationship is together we're better. You know, I don't need him, but I've chosen him. It's one where you're both independent, strong people, but dependent, and enjoy the other, how they can support you and help you. You know, and I just know this because I feel it to the core of who I am, because I just love the way my husband and I play together and how much he cherishes and adores me and protects me and provides for me. And I couldn't say that before. All that before would have made me feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I was taught to take care of myself. And so now I love it that he's a manly man and I can enjoy those things that he does for me, because we have this interdependent relationship. We're both, you know, independent people, can be good on our own, but it's best when we're there together and we can be dependent upon each other also, and, you know, help each other be the best that we can do. So in closing, know what you want in your relationship. Create your relationship guide, not your mama's or anyone else's. What works for you? What do you want in your life? Then work with your partner and what's theirs, and begin creating the relationship that you want. Know when obstacles or challenges come up that they're opportunities to heal, to go deeper in your relationship. And step back. Don't take it personally. I mean, you can be mad and angry at the time and feel that, but just know, okay, you know, there is something bigger than just me being angry at, you know, whatever the situation happened. Because you want to feel and you want to, you know, be in that, you know, situation, but you don't want to stay in the drama. You want to stay in the dream. You want to stay in the loving, passionate relationship. And it's not always easy to be there when we're interacting with other people. But know all those situations that put you at angst or something that you need to heal within yourself to make you the best person that you can be. So pay attention to your communication. Are you taking responsibility rather than blaming? Are you seeking first to understand? Are you taking time to listen deeply? Are you showering your loved ones with the affirmations, attention, appreciation? What voice are you meeting? Are you meeting your partner's love language? Are you speaking up for what you need in kind, caring, compassionate ways? As we're ending tonight, I hope that some of these ideas remind you of the love you desire and deserve. And it all starts with loving yourself and knowing what's most important to you. And start with the little steps. Use the worksheet. You know, make a plan to get there, or join me in a variety of ways. I have a limited offering that I'm now starting. I'm going to start a group coaching call called Dream Bigger that's going to be weekly, so that we can go deeper on these topics and any other topics that'll be of interest in the people in the group. And it's going to be, I think I said, weekly, and it'll be for $97 a month. And we're going to be able to really get in and do the work. And it's all about being in the conversation and really taking your particular situations and really working through it. It's going to start September the 15th, and we're going to limit it to 10 people. And I feel like 10's a good number because you get the synergy of the group, but it keeps it personal so that you can have all the questions answered and that you can make the transformations that you desire. And we'll have a personal, you know, private Facebook group so that we can go in there and get the support you need. And I'll be in there helping, you know, with the interaction. And throughout the calls, I'll be coaching you through the personal things that you're dealing with and how to make those steps to move it forward. So if you're interested, go to my website, DottieHager.com, and sign up. And so now that I, like I told you, I rambled on and on about this topic, and I could go on forever about it, but now I'd like to open it up for any questions that you might have. Because I muted everybody, if you would hit star 6 if you have a question, then you can ask your question and we can get in a dialogue. I'd love to be hearing your response, any questions, comments that you have to make. Speak up. I'd love to hear from you. Well, if we don't have any questions, next month's call is on October the 6th, and it's about nurturing your mind and creating the mindset that you want. So I thank you so much for joining me, and I hope that I can help support you in a variety of ways in your life. Thank you so much.